Welcome back. Annesiyle nişanlısını da çağıralım mı? Annesi ve nişanlısı. Çocuklar
İyi
burada.
İyi olur. Nerede onlar yani? Bizim iki için açık glad to see you here tonight. I don't see you too often. I recognize you because you are a spitting image of your mom. So you know how you are going to look when you get old. Your father, rahmetullah alayh, passed away how many years ago?
8 years ago.
You don't even remember.
Definitely remember.
Sophia will remember. Your mother will remember. Hello?
Baba, yes, it's been 8 long years. 8 years.
8 years. May Allah make his final abode his Jannah. Most of our problems in life, which very strongly affect our life on this planet, is fear. We fear hunger, we fear the loss of our wives and husbands and mothers and fathers and children, and our houses and cars and bank accounts. And the fear of all those things is nothing compared to the master of all fears, which is death. Now all the other fears, you may lose your job, you may get it back. You may lose your wife, you may get it back. You may lose your husband, you may get it back. You may lose your child, you may get it back. You may lose your house and you may get it back. But there is one fear: when you lose it, you don't get it back. That's death, and that's your life. And let us analyze the fear of death. Some people even are stupid enough of fearing the pain, the throes of death, which we are all going to experience. According to tradition, Hazrat Ali Keremallahu Veshehu says, the sinner, all the sins which he has done will be like a telörgü, hani iğneli
barbed wire.
The barbed wire like becomes like a barbed wire, and it is like being pulled out from inside of you. Very painful. But for the believer, the Israel will show you, inshallah, your place in paradise, and in the marvel when you are looking at that, and he will pull out your life like pulling a hair out of butter. But the fear of the throes of death, of the pain of death, is much less the reason of the fear of death. Then, what will happen after death? Now, there are certain declarations in Islam. You know all the declaration of faith. And let us do it. Amen to billahi.
Amen to billahi.
Wa malaikatihi.
Wa malaikatihi.
Wa kutubihi.
Wa kutubihi.
Wa rasulihi.
Wa rasulihi.
Wa yawmil akhiri.
Wa yawmil akhiri.
Bil kaderi, hayrihi ve şerrihi, min Allahu Teala, ve ba'su ba'del mevti, ve hakkun, eşhedü en la ilahe illallah, ve eşhedü enne Muhammeden abduhu ve resuluhu. I think we don't have too much difficulty in believing in the existence of one God when we say Amantu Billahi. Although none of us has seen Allahu Ta'ala. He is invisible, unknowable, unseeable. He doesn't resemble anything which he has created, so therefore unimaginable. Yet, anybody who has eyes and who has a mind knows that this coffee I am drinking, although it is not very halal, that cigarette which I am smoking. My son Enver here, and all of you, the air which we breathe, the food which we have just eaten from the hand of my daughter Safiya, all, everything without exception, which is in the creation, all the heavenly bodies, all the suns and the planets and the worlds, is created by Allah. So although we don't know Allah Ta'ala's essence, and Rasulullah says only He knows Himself, we know Him from His work. Not only the things which exist are His doing, But everything which happens in all this existence, including what I am saying now, the sound wavelengths and your ability to hear it, it is all he's doing. If he wanted to, he can make me stop right now to talk. If he wanted to, he may let me talk, but you will not be hearing me or understand what I am saying. So through that we know that he exists. Some of us, we have got a little difficulty in understanding Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi, the existence of angels. Now the Christians and other religions make paintings or images of angels, which has got sort of big wings, and there are descriptions in the Quran or in the tradition of Hadrat Jibreel alayhi salam, you know, and this and that. But when we talk about the belief of the existence of angels, angels are the connection, if you want to, the telephone wire, you know, between the created and the creator. Now we all have had experiences that we talk to Allah Ta'ala 5 times a day. When we make our prayers, or when we make our private prayers and want something from him, and we know that an answer comes from him. So there is no question about it, a communication between us and our Lord, and that is what the angels are. The books which Allah Ta'ala has sent to various many prophets, they exist. The prophets, indeed, they exist. You know, we know them, we know Rasulullah's tomb, you know where it is, you know, they do exist. But when it comes to يوم الآخر وأصباد الموت, the life after death, and the day of last judgment, Jannah and Jahannam, we are a little bit at loss in believing it. We wish to believe it. Karl Marx, the father of communism, has said religion is the opiate of the poor, is the opium which gives relief to the poor. Well, he's not wrong. Proof is, when do we ever remember Allah except when we are hungry or we have a problem or we are very sick, etc., etc.? The wrong thing is that why didn't he use it in his revolution? And he was right, because the religious people, at least truly religious people, are not violent people and they are not very good in revolutions. It is only when you make a joke of your religion, like people are doing in the name of Islam now, who are killing each other. But truly, religion is in support of the existing rule. I mean, if you look at even in your recent history, the Catholic Church always supported the fascistic regimes, right? Yeah. The same thing goes with Islam. The Hajis and the Hojas, you know, and the mosques, they have always somehow supported the rulers, whether they are good or whether they are bad. How? Because it is, I mean, if you do not believe in the seven things which we just declared that we believed in, then your faith is incomplete. That how can I possibly convince you that there is a life after death, there is indeed rewards and punishments for the things which we do in your life. There is indeed an eternal life in either in a horrible place called Jahannam or the nicest place which you cannot even imagine called Jannah. In Surah Zilzal, Allah Ta'ala says, you will see an atom's, the result, the effect of the atom's worth of good which you have done in your life, and you will see the punishment for the atom's weight of evil which you have done in this life. Now when this ayat was received to revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that came out from the blessed lips of Rasulullah, Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was present. And as soon as he heard that, he went into a terrible state, crying, shedding tears. That sort of, it was pouring from his blessed beard. And when Rasulullah said, what happened, Ya Abu Bakr, that you are crying? So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I just remembered in detail of all the sins which I have done, but I am having difficulty of remembering any good which I have done in my life. This, ibadallah, is Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, not me, not you. Now one thing which I would like you to remember and never to forget. Like there is in every country a constitution. In America, you know, they always refer to the constitution and to the judges, you know, about the constitution. If there would be a constitution of iman, of faith, if there would be a constitution of Islam, this is these two sentences, that we will see the effect of the slightest good which we have done, and we will see the reward or the punishment of the slightest of evil which we have done. And we should always remember that when we are living this life. But then, as I said, that if we do not really totally believe in the existence of an eternal coming life, then we will be perfectly free to commit not an atom's weight of evil, but an atomic bomb's weight of evil, you know, and we will totally not force ourselves to do even a atom's worth of good. I was reading the Masnavi. Hazrat Mevlana Celaleddin Rumi talks about this subject and bases what I am going to tell you, what he says to us, his thoughts as to the existence of after death, to this ayat from the Quran al-Kareem. Allah Ta'ala says that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, which exists in this life which is not a sample of what was brought from the hereafter. When Allah Ta'ala says, we have the treasures of all and everything which we have in this world, but I descend a sample of it, a little tiny bit of it, in small measures to your life in this world. So which means that whatever we see, whatever we experience in this life is really a sample of what we are going to experience in the hereafter. Whatever we see as existing in this world is only a tiny little sample of what exists in the hereafter, including our senses. I see, but I cannot see what is behind that wall. So therefore I make machines, radars and this and that, to be able to see behind that wall. What I can see is up to the horizon, and not even that. What I can see clearly is exactly as the distance which I have between you and me. When it is farther away, when it is the sun and the moon and the stars, I build myself a telescope. There are lots of microbes running around here which we cannot see, so I make myself a microscope to see it. The same thing goes to hearing. I can hear to a certain distance to be able to hear towards I make microphones and this and that kind of a thing. So you see that, if you wish, our ability to see, to hear, to touch, to smell, to taste is a tiny, tiny sample of what will it be in the hereafter. But it is not going to be any different, except that when I see, I will see, like Hazrat Umar did, somebody when he was in Medina Munawwara, he said, what was the name of the general? So and so, you know, move to the right or move to the left, kind of thing. So, I mean, he saw the distance and the voice reached to him. This is what is going to happen in the hereafter. And he says that as a proof of everything which exists here has come from the hereafter, including the feelings, he said, that when you feel good and happy sometimes is the effect of that you have made somebody happy. So that's the reward which we will get in the hereafter, much bigger one, but in here we get a sample of it when we feel happy having made somebody happy. Or the sorrow which we feel that we have caused sorrow to somebody. So we feel it here, and in the hereafter we will suffer much more. Knowing these things helps a great deal in our living this life as Allah Ta'ala has meant us to live. In addition, giving us a real hope that an eternal life is waiting for us if we do what Allah Ta'ala tells us to do and not do what He tells us not to do. Because often we sin without meaning to. In fact, we even don't know that we are sinning. But then when we feel, out of no reason whatsoever, a depression, an unhappiness, to be not content in life, if we truly believe that that could be the effect of something which we have done wrong, and ask Allah's forgiveness. And if we feel for no reason whatsoever, even if it is cold and miserable outside and the food has burnt, you know, and the car has gone kaput, you know, but all of a sudden we are sort of content and happy, then perhaps we should think that we have done something right and made somebody happy and thank Allah Ta'ala for it. After saying all this, I want to tell to the Rahman family that your mother is a part of this family. She is my daughter, and she is the sister of all these people which you see around you. So tonight you have come and seen it with your own eyes. We are happy when she is happy, and we are sad when she is sad. And when the time comes that she will be in need, which none of you is able to help her, she will have this huge family here to help her. And that should be a relief to you, I hope, that you are no longer four or five people, you know, who are her sons and her cousins and her in-laws and her husband. But whether you want it or not, you know, you are also a member of this huge family here. And if I were you, I would be happy for it. Rasulullah says that my ummah is like one single person. When the finger of that person aches, the the whole body aches. So when Safiya aches, we ache. And when Safiya is happy, we are happy. Selamun
aleyküm.
Anlayana sivrisinek sas, anlamayana davul zurna at. Hazreti Mevlana gives also a hadith to more or less substantiate this claim of his, and he said that after a battle that the armies of Rasulullah captured many of the people who were fighting them, and amongst them was Hazrat Abbas, his uncle, and they tied the hands of everybody, and somewhere they are prisoners. And Rasulullah said that his hands were aching, and he said that is the effect of the ache of Hazrat Abbas, which had his hands done. And he said that, alas, I will feel more of it in the hereafter. That's Rasulullah. Except that, and the cure of fear, which I resent very much in a Muslim, is the fear of the cause of those things which you are afraid of. Allah Ta'ala. If you fear Allah Ta'ala, there won't be any hunger. There won't be any problems. There won't even be death, or they may all exist, but you will not mind them. So fear the cause of your troubles, the maker of these troubles, and the troubles will disappear. Herkes süt dökmüş kedi gibi. How is it that each time I talk about normal things, normal because they exist in our daily life, that all of a sudden all of us feel guilty? Thank God that I remember once I asked, is there anyone who have never missed a prayer? And may Allah forgive him. There was one of us who raised his hand. He may fool us, but I don't think he can fool Allah Ta'ala. Allah rahmet eylesin, he has passed away. Well, what should we talk about? Ever told?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I was taught that unconditional obedience in Islam is suggested. In other words, Islam is not in favor of upheaval or uprising against the ruler, no matter how unjust.
İslamiyet'te şöyle bir kural olduğunu duydum, doğru mu diyor? Ya, karakter itibariyle bir Müslümanın idarecilere, emirlere karşı çıkması pek uygun görülmüyor.
Evet. Doğru.
Bunun herhangi bir istisnası var mı diyor.
Bir defa, for one thing, you see that they all claim the American democracy is the only democracy. Even in a regime of royalty, yeah, if Allah so willed, he can kill the ruler, right? Or he can change the attitude of the ruler. So if you believe that everything which exists is his doing, if you believe that everything which happens is his doing, yeah? So if there is a tyrant, you know, as a ruler, that you have to somehow go along with it. So that's democracy. Look at the result of democracy, even in the famous American democracy. I mean, we suffered, you know, all these years, a Bush, and probably we will suffer, you know, in the hands of another Bush. Yeah? I mean, it's true, right? On the other hand, there is a hadith to the effect that if a Muslim, when he encounters an injustice or a tyranny, that he should try to undo it with his hands. And if he cannot undo it with his hands, he can try to undo it with his tongue to speak against it. And if he cannot do that either, that he should silently shed tears, you know, of sadness and ask Allah Ta'ala to undo it. But you notice that immediately it comes, if you cannot undo it with your hands, then you speak against it, and if you cannot do that, cannot meaning that if it endangers you, yeah? So it doesn't really absolve tyranny, but at the same time, you know, don't forget that Islam, I mean, even the word itself is from taslimiyya, is from submission. That is why religious people are not too good for revolutions. That's why Karl Marx, being intelligent, didn't use them. He used the non-believers, you know, for his revolution. Yeah.
So all these Arab Springs that we've seen is actually people are sinners, or part of it?
Başlarındaki zalimlere veya yöneticilere ayaklanmış Arap baharındaki Müslümanlar günah mı işliyorlardı?
Allah bilir. Neticesini we saw the result. Yeah. We saw the result, didn't we? I mean, all the shouting and screaming and this and that and even killing and this and that, and at the end... I mean, we have seen the result of all revolutions, that logically, for instance, French Revolution was justified, the result of it. Communist revolution was absolutely justified, the result of it. Hitler was absolutely justified, you know, because I mean they really squeezed the throat of Germany after the First World War, and we saw the result. See, the American government doesn't understand that. I mean, people are joking about their insistence of exporting American democracy to, I don't know, Tibetans and Syrians and Bosnians and... and Americans, yeah.